Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
And back! Second hour of the program. Not Santa. This is where you learn your lesson, big dog. You're not Santa, and you're not breaking news on TMZ. I am, because I was telling you the truth. Not Santa thought he'd be cute, based on our conversation last segment, and mentioned Rachel Nichols and the fact that I called out Matt Jackson's crush on her, to which Matt quickly responded, "Rumor, that's common knowledge. Big fan. Boom, end of story."
What part?
Case closed.
Is it him sweating? When Rachel Nichols sat down for the interview, he was literally sweating and turning red. Would he admit that?
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Yep. That's impressive.
Because I was in the background laughing at him the whole time. Because I was wondering if he was going to keep it together enough to get the whole interview done.
I had no... I mean,
but it was all in fun.
I guess there's someone like that for everybody. There's someone in the world that if you
meet... That's what I was going to ask you. So as we open the second hour of the program, Astros are still trailing 2-0 at Minute Maid Park to the A's, looking for the sweep in the series. We mentioned that. Game 2 of the finals is tonight between the Suns and the Bucks. Everything looks to be leading towards Giannis playing again. Bucks trying to even the series. Mike Budenholzer won't make any adjustments. We'll get to that later. All right, so I asked you this at the end of hour number one. We talked about Matt Jackson's crush on Rachel Nichols. Do you have someone like that that would draw that kind of reaction from you? Because I'm thinking back to my single days. I'm thinking back to... like crushes and or so if Taylor Swift walked in, Nick, you would be sweaty and you would turn red and you would stutter.
I might. I mean, I might. She's that beautiful. She's that perfect that I might do that. I might hesitate a little bit.
Don't you think that would only happen if she asked you to help find her ass?
Nothing wrong with her ass in my eyes.
It's missing.
No, it's not.
It's not there.
It exists.
It really doesn't.
She has one.
Really? In her closet?
You struggle to find where it starts. Like the person on Twitch said yesterday, like from the back to the top. But it's there.
You're sure of this?
Yes.
And she would make you squirmy.
The Christina Aguilera one, that was more surprising to me. I thought for sure she had.
Right.
I thought for sure she had a bigger. I thought she had assets compared to Taylor. But no, that was false. So who is it for you?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Yeah. When you say Taylor, I have
not Joel's daughter.
No. I don't think, I really don't. I don't think in all the years and all of the...
Celebrities, I'll be honest with you, they don't really... The only person I've ever been nervous was when the first time I met Dana White and Ariel Helwani, because I pretty much got in the business because of Ariel Helwani.
Okay.
But those two are basically the only two that I ever... got nervous when I met them in person. I've met so many celebrities, it don't faze me. The other one that was kind of nervous, I don't know why, Sway. I was nervous just asking him for the pick. This was like 2-3 years ago too. I don't know. I've watched his show for so long, him and the Breakfast Club.
You know, being in sports and having a team that was good, and then having all-star games and such, you had so many celebrities. And then being friends with Charles and Clyde and other people that were very much in the popular crowd that brought a lot of celebs around, you got to a point where it really, you're not, I was never really swayed and bothered or worked up by any celebrity. I will say this, and it's funny because it's ironic that it's this week, the American Century Celebrity Tournament's in Tahoe, and I went for 14. I used to caddy for Charles and went for 14 straight years with Charles and Keenan McCardell and Ray Allen. And I do remember one year showing up, one of my first years there. And through Charles, I had met Michael, and I was a ball boy and I'd met Michael. But obviously, Michael was the end-all, be-all. And I walked into the hotel, and Charles yells at me, and he's in the casino, and he's like, "Come here, white boy." And whatever. And I come over and we're chatting it up. And I was like, I'm gonna put my luggage up and then we'll, you know, do whatever. And all of a sudden I hear this voice that goes, hey, Joel, you can't come over and say hi. And I turn around and Michael's at this blackjack table with mounds of chips around him. And he's in, you know, no one around him.
Yeah.
And I was just like, sure can.
Yeah.
And I went over there and I was like, what's up, man? Whatever. And I'm like, and I'm walking away going, you know, his circle was so tight.
Yeah.
That after that, subsequently, then I kind of got the feeling of, oh, he now knows me. And he, because I was amazed he knew my name.
Basically, he gave you the green light.
But yeah, he knew me. He knew I was friends with Charles. So I guess I was okay. So then whenever the Hornets would come to town and he'd come into the building or whatever, and we'd get these, it was crazy. It was the only guy from a visiting team, including like presidents and everything else. We would get an internal memo that says, Michael Jordan will be in the building tonight. Do not approach him. Do not talk to him. Do not do this. Do not do that.
Really?
Yeah. It was crazy. And so I'd be walking out of the media room and he'd be coming through the tunnel and I'd see him and I go, oh, not supposed to talk to you. I got to walk the other way. And he's like, he starts laughing. He's like, come on, man. What are you talking about? And I was like, and I tell him, he goes, they really did. He goes, man, what are you doing on the road? And he's like, you know, I got a lot of work for this team to do. I go, where'd you play today? And he started looking at me and I go, where'd you play today? And he goes, got 36 in at Redstone. And I was like, hard work, huh? A lot of basketball stuff to work out on the road. I was like, you just need to get out of the house.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know he would travel all the way to Houston. If Charlotte came in town, he would travel to Houston? Would he travel with the team all the time?
He would travel with the team. Sometimes. Wherever they were going on the road trips. But of course, the clubs came with. And, you know, and especially if it was like bad weather in the Carolinas. Well, oh, look, the team's going on a swing through Texas and then going to California. Why wouldn't he go?
Well, we're getting a lot of contributions on this. Margot Robbie is a really good one. I don't know how it... I don't know. Not bad. She is...
I don't think it would affect me like that, though I think she's beautiful. But, I mean, I'll give her props. She's up there.
Was Nick nervous around Mrs. Margot? What is he talking about? I've never met Margot.
Michelle Margot?
No.
That's crazy.
Why would I be nervous? No.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I thought he was talking about the actress. I'm like, I didn't meet her. And then I realized he spelt it different. But Margot Robbie is a good one. You know, Snoop, like some of these guys, if I could just meet them and they know that it's off the record, not a media type of thing, I think I would be a lot more comfortable. Like Snoop Dogg, I think I would be comfortable regardless. You know what I mean? I wouldn't care. I think he's easy to talk to. I feel like Barkley's kind of easy to talk to. You know him a little bit better. Shaq, I feel like I'd be a little bit more concerned to approach him. I feel like he would.
No, he's easy. You'd be like, what's up, Shaq? Really good with people.
He's cool.
Yeah.
I did see him buy that engagement ring for that one
dude.
That
was cool.
And that was random. Yeah.
No, he does a lot of stuff like that. But just approaching him, he's easy. There are guys that you just don't. There are guys that don't want you to. I mean, Larry Bird was notorious for, hey, if he was eating dinner or something and people would walk up to his table and say, hey, Mr. Bird, I hate to bother you, but, you know, because they were going to ask for an autograph. And he'd go, well, if you hate to bother me, then don't. Because I'm eating dinner.
Really?
Yeah, Larry gave zero you know whats. He just
I would request him for interviews like all the time. I just wanted to be that one guy that could get Larry Bird on the air, right? So I kept emailing. Finally the guy responds and he's like, "Bro, Larry Bird did one radio interview in the past 2 years and it was because it was his friend or someone he knew. He's not joining your show, bro."
He hated the media. He hated.
He was like, it's not happening, Nick. So stop emailing me. I'm like, yes, sir. Not going to do it.
No, he was different that way. And like I said, MJ, most times he liked having that aura about him that he was unapproachable. Like, don't. And he also knew, you know, he always had his security guys and everybody to where you just weren't supposed to. Like, he had a rule that he wasn't supposed to do pregame interviews. And, you know, Calvin Murphy doesn't give a crap about your rules. I told Murph when we were on the road and even in Houston, I was like, now you know MJ's got this rule, he doesn't do pregame. He's like, Joby, watch this right here. I'm gonna tell you what I should think about these rules. I'll be right back. And I'm like, where are you going? He goes, I'm gonna get MJ. And I was like, no, you're not. 5 minutes later, he's like, get the cameras. He doesn't want to do it on the court. He wants to do it in the hallway, but Michael's gonna do pregame with us. And Calvin was one of those dudes that he had the aura that even if the team and or the players said no, he had a way of making them say yes. And MJ basically said, he's Calvin Murphy. At one point, Worrell and Murphy made Michael tell me, head of the broadcast department, that he watched us whenever they weren't playing. That's how much he loved watching Murph and Bill and the and our telecast.
Really?
And no I was really taken back by that, but Murph was like, this is what I'm talking about. And I'm like, hey man, as long as you, if you got Michael, that's a pretty good get.
That sounds like a Barry Warner move. You know what I mean? Like he's in there, the media, the PR people say, guess what? This guy's off limits, this guy's right. off limits, this guy's off limits, this guy's off limits, and then Barry Warner's ass just walks right through that entire crowd and says, you know what? I'm gonna talk to him because I don't give a damn. Cause I'm Barry Warner. Okay, you got to give him credit for that.
But the
say what you want about Barry Warner.
The difference is the clout between the two. Barry Warner's in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Calvin Murphy was an actual athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it. A Rockets legend, an NBA legend. So, I get it.
So, we'll continue to push through hour number two of the three-hour program. Lots more to get to. Hey, we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but it's interesting now to tie in the correlation to see if it might be something the Texans are interested in. The Patriots have a disgruntled wide receiver that wants out. Nick Caserio knows that receiver well. Should it be in the Texans' best interest to explore the possibilities of making him a Texan? Talk about that and a whole lot more as we continue to roll on with hour number two. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box. Astros still trailing 2-0 as they are in the top of the fourth now. Oakland's got one on, one out. I threw this out there before the break. So we mentioned yesterday that former first-round pick N'Keal Harry, wide receiver for the Patriots, wants out. Just doesn't think he's been used right while he's been there. Was highly regarded coming out of college. Just would like to get a change of scenery. We already know that the Texans have a lot of overpaid, underachieving typed over-the-hill receivers.
He signed a bunch of receivers. Chris Conley, Dante Moncrief, Andre Roberts.
Name one that you're really thinking is going to scare defenders.
I don't know.
No, 2021 still there. Oh, joy. He's an injury waiting to happen. Randall Cobb, wait until the concussion. That'll be week two.
Nico Collins, Isaiah Coulter.
Draft pick there. At least there's some potential.
Rookie, 2021 rookie. So
Harry was a first-round pick 2 years ago. Obviously, Nick Caserio had something to do with drafting him because he was at least in the room and in the research and development phases of what led them to take him. So he's very familiar with him. I would think, especially since there's a relationship between the Patriots and Caserio and Harry, and that unless Caserio has reasons for not going to get him, they could do a lot worse than a guy on his rookie contract looking for a fresh start on a team that is full of nothing but opportunities for fresh starts.
Yeah. See, with the whole N'Keal Harry thing is what bothers me is that I don't like you signing people just because you had a past relationship with them. I understand you were on the player personnel department of the Patriots when you made that draft in 2019. His stats are not that great.
They're awful.
But they're saying, just like you said, they're saying it's because they didn't use him properly. If you look at the history he had in terms of quarterbacks that he was playing with, Tom Brady and Cam Newton, both are not necessarily known to be guys that throw the ball deep. And apparently he's a deep threat. Like he's a deep ball threat guy. That's what
also
he does.
Guys that, at least in Brady's case, it doesn't necessarily throw to rookies.
Yeah, and he was deep in the depth chart. So it just sounds like a guy that doesn't get enough playing time, and he probably feels like with his past relationship with Nick Caserio and the disaster that the Houston Texans are, at least in terms of the roster right now, or maybe that's unfair because we haven't seen them play yet, but they're not, I mean, there's nothing on paper that really impresses you. Maybe he looks at the Texans situation and says, you know what? Yeah, the Texans probably will give me a chance despite signing 72 damn wide receivers.
I know Nick Caserio. Yeah, I might have a chance to start. I know Caserio. I know that they don't have an all-pro wide receiver or the best receiver in the game they used to. And there's going to be plenty of opportunities for me on a team that's trying to rebuild. And if I prove myself, I might be able to establish as being one of the guys that they want to rebuild around going forward. And here's the real kicker, Nicholas. If this was when we were talking about the Astros and what they'd have to give up to get a Craig Kimbrell, and we knew that it was like a significant package of four players and highly rated prospects and on the roster guys, you don't want to give up too much because you just got your draft picks back. What they're saying right now is the Patriots may only want a seventh round pick for N'Keal Harry. If all you got to do is give up a seventh round pick, which if you get a guy in the seventh round pick that somehow finds his way into being a special teamer, great. But if you don't, then normally that's what a seventh round pick is. So to lose a seventh round pick and gain a guy that was a first round pick that doesn't seem to have anything off the field going on that indicates he's trouble. It's just a guy that maybe got drafted by the wrong team with the wrong personnel around him, and maybe he needs a second chance. I'd be willing to give up a seventh round pick for him.
Yeah, I would be too. And look, he had a lot of hype coming out of college. I don't know if he's going to live up to that hype, and that's going to translate to the pro league. He's been in the league a couple of years now, and his numbers are not that good, so I don't know. But if you really wanted to come up, I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible to come up as a wide receiver for the New England Patriots, but it's still Bill Belichick, and you still had one particular quarterback for the longest time before he finally vacated and left. I mean, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, I listed you all the names that they officially have on the roster in terms of wide receivers for the Houston Texans, and then you add that name to the mix. It's not like I'm super excited, but maybe depth is what he's looking for. But doesn't necessarily mean he's going to do well, and maybe if he gets more reps, maybe he does improve the stats. But is he still a key wide receiver for your team when you have five other ones on the roster or six other ones?
That's my point, Nick. At the end of the year, as much as they can, I think Cobb, of the 3-27 that was due to him, the majority of it is they can get out from under the rest of it after this year. So I think that you look at that part of it, and you know that Cooks may be gone this year. Otherwise, Cooks is probably finding a new home, either compliments of the Texans or otherwise, after this year. They're going to develop the young players. And again, this team is going nowhere. And so for this year, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So why not embrace the suck and take flyers? They're just like they're taking flyers on guys that have at one point in their careers been decent players in the NFL, hoping that they find it on a one-year deal. Why not give up a seventh-round pick and get a former first-round pick that might have the ability to help you in the future? And who knows? He might be able to help him a little bit this year.
Yeah. And look, he's on his rookie deal. So that means there's 2 years left, and there's a possibility of picking up a fifth-year option. I don't know if that's too much to take on, but why not? It's a seventh-round pick that you're losing. I don't imagine the annual salary as compensation is going to be incredibly high. So, I mean, I guess go for it. I mean, it doesn't excite me because I don't know exactly what they're going to do with them. And I don't know what the coaches are going to do to help develop these players. Because clearly, a good percentage of the players on the roster need to be developed.
Yeah.
Just developed. Practice reps.
Right. And so you're going to have plenty of practice reps that he probably wasn't getting in New England. And there's a reason why I would be curious Lance's perception based on when he was coming out and his grade for what he gave Harry, because he was in a cluster of receivers that same year that were all kind of somewhat equally valued and rated, but he wasn't a scrub. So even if it's the sacrifice of the ever-injured Kiki Kuti, but like you said, if he likes the deep ball and he's in good shape and there's low tread off the tires because he hasn't really played all that much for New England, you could, you're not losing a whole lot to take a flyer on a guy. Let's put it this way. The return on the investment and the risk versus the reward, it's highly weighted in terms of the reward. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You gave up a seventh-round pick. You didn't draft him in the first round. They did.
No.
So no. I think that it would be worth at least exploring.
And look, his excitement level probably went from 100 to a zero when Cam Newton came, right? Like, was he excited when Cam Newton was the quarterback of this team? Like, the guy can't throw for more than 10 yards, I feel like. Like, what are you going to do? Like, how excited are you going to be? You know, like, and I don't know if he's only a deep threat. Maybe he can do both, but he was known to be a deep threat before in the past. So,
So we'll see. I mean, the thing is that everybody's crapping on, well, how could he do better here if he has David Culley as his head coach, a former receivers coach? He could do a lot worse. You know what? It's like, it's not like there's a depth chart that says it's insurmountable for you to find the field. It's not like he's not going to be given every opportunity, as you mentioned, to practice every day and prove he belongs on the field. And if he does do that, that he would get some time to see what he can do, because that's all this is. It's a resume builder for so many teams this year, so many players, I should say, that are coming here on one-year deals anyway to prove themselves, whether it be here or otherwise.
No, that's true. But what if you're another wide receiver on the Texans roster right now? It's like, all right, Caserio signs a wide receiver. Caserio signs another wide receiver. Caserio signs another. Like, the wide receiver's got to be like, dude, could you hold off on the wide receiver signings, bud? Just pump the brakes a little bit. Huh? Put some new brakes on that, buddy.
Yeah, but that's the thing too, Nick. The other thing from the player standpoint in the locker room, if I'm Randall Cobb, if I'm Brandon Cooks, and Brandon Cooks played in New England, so I would think it's different because Caserio probably has a relationship with him too. God knows Easterby does. But Caserio's going to basically start telling guys in the locker room without telling them, and in some cases already telling them by the contracts he's gotten rid of, guess what? It's my team now. And so I'm going to determine what we're going to do going forward, and I'm also going to determine how many of these deals we made previous to me being here were bad. And if you get the writing on the wall or I got to send you the memo, if I'm not a fan of your contract or your abilities, you're not going to be here.
Yeah.
So take note, Randall Cobb, and your overpaid salary. Take note, Kiki Kuti, and your ever-injured ass, that you're on notice.
Look, that's the mentality I believe a lot of GMs should have. Like, don't overpay. Especially if you're going to get someone on that has a history of injuries, that's fine. But don't overpay. Like, if you want to take a chance, maybe he's healthy for 1 year. Put him on a 1 year deal.
Yes.
Make sure it's reasonable. And that way, if he does get hurt, that you don't have to pay an enormous contract. I just don't understand why they do that. Relationships help.
But that's the one trait, too, you want him to take from Belichick. The tough love of, hey, I wasn't here when Bill O'Brien overpaid you, but I'm going to be here going forward, which means you either prove you're worth it or I'll find someone else at less money that is.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We have a giveaway coming up. Also, remember that lawyer that was extorting Nike for a lot of money?
Trying to. For AAU and Zion Williamson and stuff.
Yeah, it looks like he's had his day in court, and it's not a good one, so we'll talk about that.
You know, he was going to run for president 1 year?
Yeah, and he represented Stormy. That was when he was Daniels. Representing Stormy Daniels. Yeah.
Yeah. He ain't going to be representing anybody but a number on a jumpsuit.
Mm.
All right. Second half of the program comes up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Press Box ESPN.
Is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show, it's the Press Box on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM on a Thursday in the big city. Astros still trailing 2-0, making Frankie Montas look like an all-star. Speaking of all-stars, if you missed it, both Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa are electing to skip the all-star game along with the best pitcher in baseball, Jacob DeGrom. There is already the underswale that we started talking about on this show today, Nicholas, and that is people thinking they don't want to hear the boos. On the flip side, I like other people saying maybe they are going to make a statement and say, if you guys aren't going to try and treat us fairly and be behind us, why should we be helping you to promote your little Midsummer Classic and do what you need to do? And you know what? Here's the other thing. This Molly Knight chick that's constantly pounding all over on the Astros when she's not trying to write a Yankee book or get involved in all these different things. She always has something to say when something happens with the Astros where she tries to turn it into a negative. I hate that.
Yeah, But who's going to say? Isn't she the attractive girl from The Athletic?
I will let you judge that. All I know is she comes out and goes, honestly, I wouldn't want to spend my summer vacation getting booed either. And she always has the snarky little comments. And God love Jong, who responded to her and said, then I encourage you not to look at your comments then. Because she's just, it's tired. It's old. It's like the whole thing. We get it. Just move on. But that's my commentary on that.
Like, we all know what they're trying to do. Right, Athletic wants clicks, and everybody else wants clicks. They want the viewership. They want the readership. So
I had asked, when we talked about this in the first hour of the program, Nick, and I forgot to do this. So I did. We got a lot of responses on who would make you kind of squirm and feel uncomfortable and nervous if you ever got a chance to meet them. And oh, by the way, not Santa, who tried to tattle on me, found out that Matt Jackson not only owned his crush on Rachel Nichols, I followed it up by responding to both of them and saying, MJ, you remember when I got the interview for you with her and you were squirming and getting all over it? And he goes, highlight of his career. So there you go, not Santa. Someone said Dave Chappelle would be the Goo Goo Gaga experience if they ever got to meet him. Others have said Kate Upton.
No, not for me.
Not me either. What did Barry used to say? She has a square torso.
Yep.
Scarlett Johansson. She's pretty.
Was it not Infinity Wars? It was the one before that. She had already lost a step. And then there was another movie that she was in, and then it looked like she was hot again. So I'm like, what is it, Scarlett? You're reminding me of Drew Barrymore. What is it? Is it Drew Barrymore?
What, you liked her in E.T.?
No, she was just like some days, some movies, she would be absolutely hot, and then some movies she would not.
Ever since she was the kid in E.T., I never looked at Drew Barrymore and went, yeah, she's good. I was never a fan.
She's not that hot to me. I don't find her to be ugly, but I don't find her to be like incredibly attractive. But like in her prime, it was almost like it was done on purpose to make her not look as good as she could have been. You know
Scarlett
what I mean?
Johansson's got, she's got a lot going for her.
There's a scene in one of the Marvel movies and you're like, whoa.
She's tatted up a lot though. Her back's all tatted. I'm not a big fan of that, as you know. And she married old boy from Saturday Night Live, Colin Jost.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone said, Dusty said, Ken Griffey Jr. was my idol growing up, and I would be starstruck if I ever met him.
I can see that.
Okay. Someone said Rachel Ray, the cook.
Okay. She's good at what she does, I guess, in terms of TV personalities that have like shows like that. I'm not saying she's the worst. She's just not my favorite.
I think she's a great cook, Nick, because I believe that she lately in the last year or two has really enjoyed her own cooking.
See, I see what you're doing
now. I'm just saying. And so now she's making dog food. I'm not. I didn't call her anything like that. I just made a statement, and she's also making dog food now too. So I'm just giving you career facts. Okay? She used to have a talk show. She makes dog food.
I saw the dog food commercial thing. Yeah.
The Food Network. And I think she must be a great cook. Kate Beckinsale? That's a good one.
Not for me.
Woo, baby. And she's still got a fastball, and I think she's 50.
She's got to be way older than 50.
I don't
think
way older. I think she's right on the borderline.
No, she's not even 50.
Okay.
She's 47.
And she's, boy, she's pretty good.
Settle down there, buddy.
Juan said Sofia Vergara.
That might be a good one. But I think she's too, like, I would feel comfortable speaking with Sofia. She doesn't seem like a person that's hard to approach.
Sofia Vergara?
Yeah, she doesn't seem like she's hard to approach. She seems like she's someone you can easily talk to. What, you would disagree with that?
You just don't know, because I don't know enough about her.
Yeah.
And she's always hype, you know, way overdressed. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, because sometimes, a lot of times, I've told you how you get the bubble burst when you think of someone a certain way, and then you meet them in person, and you go, wow, that was completely 100% different. But, okay, Taylor Swift has some big, not protruding, by the way, but protruding lips, Nick. Yannette Garcia, she's the Telemundo weather girl, has been mentioned.
Very pretty.
Someone would fall apart if they met Christine Noel.
No. I don't know her.
She works with my wife, but
she seems like a fantastic person. No knock, but TV gals in general, I'm not going to be nervous if I met you.
Boy, I'm not. I can tell you that. Shakira. Okay. Well, that's. Someone says, I would live to meet Woody Harrelson. And Drew Barrymore was a smoke show in Wayne's World. I don't even remember her in Wayne's World.
She was kind of hot in Wayne's World.
Tia Carrera was the one in Wayne's World that was...
Well, she was the main guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was hot in that movie. I don't know if she's hot now. I totally forgot about her. That's a blast from the past.
Someone was starstruck when they met Bill Russell. But now, there's a guy that's very, very introverted, and I've told you, he does not sign autographs. He is not a fan. He will take a picture with you. Now he's obviously in a state where he's a lot older and a little bit more fragile. But forever and a day, even for the NBA at 50, Bill Russell made an exception to sign the NBA at 50 books and things, but he does not sign, and he's very, I don't want to say standoffish, because the players that know him and stuff, he flipped off Barkley at the NBA Awards and they had fun, and he knows those guys. But otherwise, Russell's kind of he has that aura about him, but I can understand that one.
Calvin Murphy won't remember this, but I was very nervous when I approached him at my high school years ago. He came to my high school, and I think he either had a daughter or someone that was related to him that went to Clemens High School.
Okay.
And I went up to him and I said, "Are you Calvin Murphy?" He said, "Why, yes." And he couldn't have been cooler, but I was nervous. It took me about 15 minutes just to approach him and say, "Hey, are you Calvin Murphy?" It took me a minute, and that's just Calvin Murphy. But that was years ago. I was probably 14 at the time or 13 at the time.
Aim low and set your standards high. Someone said that they'd be starstruck by Barry Warner. I'm sorry that you set your goals that low.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said they met Bill Russell at the Rice Hotel. He was a very cool dude. I don't doubt that. Someone said Sade. Someone said Elon Musk. Others have said
Elon Musk, that's a good one.
Is it?
I would love to chill with Elon
Musk.
Right,
you would love to chill with him, but I don't think you'd be freaking out meeting him, would you?
No, probably not. You're right. I wouldn't be, but I would love to meet him. I think Elon Musk is cool, dude. He's basically a Tony Stark.
I will say this, presidents. When we went to the White House after the second championship, and Clinton was the president, and when we first got in there and went through security and everything like that, and you end up getting a chance to shake the president's hand, that's a little one of those moments where you're kind of like, whoa.
What about Monica Lewinsky? Would you be nervous to meet her?
I wouldn't want to, no.
You wouldn't want to?
No.
Why?
Not a fan.
Not a fan of Monica Lewinsky?
No, are you?
Nope.
You like cigars?
I do.
Okay. Well, there you
what
go.
What is that? Oh, I see. All right, whatever. But Monica Lewinsky started her own little purse brand from that, I think. Like purses and a whole bunch of stuff from that whole situation.
How'd that do?
I don't know.
Stain resistant?
I have no idea.
Well, all right.
Elon Musk, though. I'm not saying I'd be nervous, but I'd be a fan.
Others say Mario Lemieux. I get it. Selma Hayek. There's a lot of people that are fans of Selma Hayek, for sure.
I am.
Jim Brown's another one. Kind of standoffish, but he's a legend.
So you can't say anything.
He can be kind of to the point. Barry Sanders couldn't be nicer. He's introverted, but Barry Sanders is one of the greatest running backs of all time. I think people should put him on that list.
You think Palillo would be starstruck by Jim Brown, considering he went to
Syracuse?
Yeah, the Cuse.
I don't know. I think, God, that's a good one. I don't know. Charlie would be starstruck by most people that are dead. I mean, because, he's an old school baseball guy.
Yeah. I mean.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, Stan Musial was born 100 years ago. He still references Babe Ruth, and he was not even born in the 1900s.
I just. Yeah.
He was born in 1895.
But Charlie, I think, would be driven by old school baseball guys and maybe a few old school broadcasters. But, he's also been spoiled too. When he went to Syracuse, Mike Tirico was his roommate. He got that whole taste of all of that. And then on top of that, I mean, Todd Callis is his buddy, and Todd's dad is the legendary Harry Callis, longtime Phillies voice and was the Astros voice. So I think he's always been around it too.
And I think he would be pretty geeked out to meet Phil Steele, despite knowing him all these years and never meeting him in person, only talking to him over the air.
That's weird.
He's a big fan of Phil Steele.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he'd be starstruck by Phil Steele. I don't think Charlie's starstruck by anybody. Because he's with the amount of time that we've all been covering sports, before he thought he was below him, he used to go in the locker rooms. So I don't think that gets to him. Someone said something about my wife that's not very nice. And I guess it was a positive response, but I don't need to know that. Mark Cuban, very cool dude. BS with us for a bit. Mark Cuban is a good dude. I think that's... And Julia Roberts.
All right.
At some point, we should probably get to the fact that there's going to be a documentary coming out. And I like documentaries, Nick, on Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah. I know you're a big fan.
I'm not a big fan of Val Kilmer, per se.
But you mentioned him like a bunch of times, though.
No.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know, but not Val Kilmer. But I will. But what he did throughout his career that's actually going to get him one more paycheck, pretty cool. We'll bring that up at some point. All right.
Also, we got some Trevor Bauer news from your boy Jeff Passan.
Oh.
So I want to talk a little bit about that. Conor McGregor in the UFC 264 fight. He faces Dustin Poirier. We'll get into some of that as well. Mm-hmm. Just a heads up.
So we got lots of stuff to talk about today. Shout out to our boy AR Platinum listening and telling us to kill it today. We love him. We love you guys too.
Shout out AR Platinum.
Back with more. It's Press Box ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back on the Press Box. Final segment of hour number two, three-hour program. Astros still trailing, still making Frankie Montas looked like an all-star. Not good.
Replica ring, huh? This Saturday, 2019.
Yeah, everything against the Yankees is bringing back all the stuff that they won the Yankees didn't. I love it. Replica trophies, replica rings. I think there's a bobblehead with the trophy of Altuve. Fantastic. Stick it to the Yankees even more. Although they've kind of gotten a little bit full of themselves because they beat the Mariners the last couple nights.
So who cares?
It is.
Let's switch the Yankees hate to some Dodgers hate. How about that?
Yeah, what do you got on Trevor Bauer? Thanks to our man, what's his name? Joel Osteen? Jeff Passan. What does Joel Osteen's brother Jeff Passan have to tell us about Trevor Bauer?
He tweets,
yes,
Trevor Bauer's administrative leave has been extended by 7 days as police and the league continue to investigate sexual assault allegations against him. Unless something is resolved by then, very likely league and union will discuss an indefinite extension. Digging in on the options for Trevor Bauer, first week, MLB can place an administrative leave with appeal. He didn't. Second week, union must consent. It did. Going forward, union must consent to extend the leave, and there would be a discussion with MLB regarding how long. There's a much longer thread of tweets that he's tweeting about right now if you want to follow or just see what he's tweeting, Jeff Passan. It's at Jeff Passan. But that's the latest in regards to Trevor Bauer. This guy, he might be in jail for a while.
Nick, I told you this the other day when we got to, he ain't playing the rest of the year.
If this gets proven,
yeah,
like you're, it's not just the rest of the year, boy.
No,
like
I'm saying the rest of the year till they get all the facts. It might take till the rest of the year to get all the facts aligned. Once they get all the facts aligned, I don't think that he's playing the rest of the year. And then, like you said, then when they start prosecuting, if this is a thing, and it's more criminal than legal, yeah.
Oh, dude.
Maybe.
That's bad. If anything is true in terms of what was alleged, he's in bad trouble, dude. Bad trouble.
I completely agree. And I think that it's weird that the other thing is that for the guy that said he'd bet on himself and play one-year deal after one-year deal and just take the max money every year, assuming he'd stay healthy, too, this one's going to – I can't say that because it might be something he's into – this one will bite him in the butt. And it really could hit. He could be. We thought this is like Deshaun part two.
Yeah,
only worse, possibly.
Yeah, it's worse because it went straight criminal. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say that Deshaun Watson didn't have some stupid moves. I mean, obviously he was trying to hide something when he like pulled back those Instagram messages because you can unsend an Instagram message. We tested that. I actually tested it with Barry Laminack. I unsent the D-pic that I sent him. So he wouldn't see it.
I don't think he saw it either way.
But yeah,
without a microscope.
But yeah, I mean, there's always some sort of shady stuff. But in the case of Trevor Bauer, he's got more on him, I feel like, than Deshaun Watson did at the beginning. You get what I'm saying? Like right off the top, Trevor Bauer looks like there's more incriminating evidence, you know, towards him than there is Deshaun Watson, at least right now.
Well, and you look at all the different things across sports, and obviously Deshaun was the one that we're most interested here locally, and now we've got this Bauer situation that we're dealing with as well. But how about the fact that you and I were talking during the break that two-time major golf champion Angel Cabrera was caught in his home country on abuse and domestic violence,
yes,
and he got a 2-year sentence. Now, here's the kicker, Nick. That was just with one former...
It was his partner.
Partner, right? But now they're saying that there are other women that are starting to come forward to say he did the same thing to them. So he got 2 years. Was that a culmination of all those other cases? Or is it going to be that once he gets done and gets sentenced for the 2 years for this case,
mm-hmm,
these other cases are going to come up and he may never golf
well,
again?
Well, that may be how it works in Argentina in terms of the legal system. He actually got 2.5 years. The partner from 2016 to 2018 in which he was assaulting and threatening and harassing was Cecilia Torres Mana, who was his partner in those years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another attorney who went on record and told the TV channel, here's the quote, his situation is much more complex than this. He has other charges for which there are arrest warrants too. There are other victims, close quote. So I guess you can have like a warrant for your arrest out, even though like you've been sentenced. It's different, obviously, in Argentina. And I guess they're doing it separately. So maybe it's the situation where they can just tack on more years.
Yep.
Maybe that's what it is, like you said, but not a good look, Angel Cabrera. Not a good thing at all.
Man, you just talk about the sidebars that are going on in sports these days. We've got all these issues that we just talked about with all the legalities and all the different things with athletes that literally just are weird. And then you start talking about, and then we talk about the year of the fan and all the different fan issues from last night again. Did you see that? Because we kept talking about all the fan issues with throwing the popcorn on Westbrook and the Kyrie Irving bottle and then the soccer matches. Did you see last night that the Rangers had a fan run out onto the field and run around and like 9 different security guys, and I tweeted out one camera shot of it, but there's more where everybody was tweeting it. This dude, who looks like he should be the easiest doofus to tackle, is like Barry Sanders. And he's going all over the field in Arlington. The one security guard thinks he's got a bead on him and face plants and misses him. And it gets worse, Nick. The Rangers players are encouraging him, pointing him where to go, waving him on like he's coming around third trying to score a run. He goes past the dugout, under the camera well where all the camera guys are, back up into the seats, and at the time that the article was written, they don't know if they got the guy. Only in Arlington. Only with Rangers guy. Crazy stuff. But more fans being idiots and getting away with it.
Yeah, I don't know how you get away with it in that situation with all those eyeballs and the cameras and stuff like that. How do you get away with that?
I don't know, but the cool thing was someone in the upper deck had like the aerial version. So it was like almost like if you had a telestrator, you could say, and here's a guy coming from the sideline, boom, right there. And they're like showing you the aerial of it. And it looks like there's one guy coming at him from one side. The other guy is really, you know, has a beat on him coming from the other side. And you're like, oh, that dude's going to tackle him. And he doesn't even do like a hip shake or anything. He just kind of gets to the hole first. And the guy just right by the pitcher's mound, he just goes, and face plants. And you're like, oh, dude.
Tweet that out, at Pac-Man Joel.
Yeah, I got to get it. I'm looking for it right now.
When you get a chance, tweet it out.
I will. Because I'm like, man, there are several angles of this. And none of it this security guy wants to see because he looks like a complete incapable security.
Of course he does. He looks terrible. He's probably super embarrassed. It looks like James Harden and Lil Baby were both stopped by police. Lil Baby.
For what?
Gets arrested for marijuana. James Harden didn't do anything illegal. He was detained and then released. Lil Baby went to jail for possession. So,
sure he wasn't questioned for faking a hamstring?
He might have.
Keep him out of the Olympics, but it ain't keeping him out of...
That would be fantastic if like the French police department were like trolling James Harden about his defense and stuff. Like that would be hilarious.
Like strip clubs over there?
I'd pay for that audio. They have to.
I would think, right?
They have to have strip clubs. How the hell are you not going to have a strip club over there? There has to be.
I would think.
There's no way there's no strip clubs there. Now, I don't know how you would compare them to the United States.
Yeah.
But what you think?
It's the fine arts here. I think that they might have a higher standard, but I don't know. Although I think that there's always
the difference.
It
depends on what standard you're going by, though.
I was
going
to say, there's always the difference between the standard of the quality of the entertainer in terms of their appeal and then the abilities of the entertainer, if you know what I mean.
No.
So I don't know how that all. I just retweeted that fan making the security look foolish in Arlington last night.
Oops, so you can sorry look about at that.
Yeah, that's nice. You do have to get to your story, by the way, of Michael Avenatti.
Yeah, he gets sentenced 2.5 years. Apparently, this guy was really ruthless when it comes down to trying to extort money from Nike. He was very demanding. At one point, I think he wanted $25 million for him and another individual. And Nike, I guess he had some sort of leverage on him for a while. They didn't succumb to him, but they definitely were listening to a lot of his demands initially.
Yeah, initially. He went from representing Stormy Daniels and getting a lot of attention to contemplating a run for president, to then thinking based on his popularity that he could go after Nike and saying that he was in the know about Zion Williamson and other deals in which Nike was under the table giving away money and doing a lot of illegal things.
Yep.
To the fact that he's now going to do time for being just a very, very scummy individual.
Yeah, Michael Avenatti is his name, and he was convicted for threatening to expose Nike's alleged corrupt payments to families of college basketball prospects unless it forked up to $25 million for him and another lawyer to conduct any internal probe. So he
guess
was just,
what, Nick? He's not done. Because aside from all of that, he's got two more federal criminal trials coming up, one in California, one in New York, one trial set to begin next week. The other one coming next year, like we were just talking about with the piling on factor. He gets two for this one. He's probably going to be facing a lot more.
You think
he's
so?
He's scummy.
Well, good. I mean, look, apparently he was a nobody until he represented Stormy Daniels against Donald Trump. That's what made him rise to fame as a lawyer. But he cannot be a lawyer anymore. Effective today or effective whenever they came down with the conviction or whatever, he can no longer practice law. He'll have to serve the 2.5 years. I don't know how much of the 2.5 years he will actually serve, but if more comes down the pipe, yeah, then you know what? Then he deserves it because extorting money ain't cool. All right, homie?
He wanted use of the Nike plane, or he wanted his own private jet. He wanted Nike to pay him to be the investigator to uncover their wrongdoings with their Nike Elite basketball. Yeah. I mean, come on, bro.
You're basically a guy that's saying, you better pay me or I'm snitching.
Nick,
you're the worst person.
He openly wept when sentenced today. Ain't nobody got time for that. No one's feeling sorry for that dude.
I didn't know he wept. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I'd watch.
Erica Orden, who's a CNN reporter, states that when the federal judge sentenced Avenatti to 30 months in prison, and he openly wept while speaking to the court on Thursday. I don't feel sorry for you, dude.
Not when you're threatening companies.
No, you had a chance. You blew it. And you got two more cases coming up, so get ready for that too.
Did you see the first pitch by our boy Derek Lewis?
Yeah.
Tyler and AJ retweeted it.
Bro,
last night, yeah.
What was that? And why did you throw it so hard like that? Why couldn't you just?
I give him credit for the jersey he wore. Though. Did you see that?
The 713.
Yeah,
at the
I liked
end?
It.
That was cool.
That was very cool. All right, well, two in the books, 1 hour to go. Final 60 minutes of the show. It comes up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.